You got the rest of the Bible memorized. The owner of the Gospel Advocate Company was the same section of the country from Foy Wallace lived. And Brother Wallace and his wife had always come every summer, and the teenagers hated it because he'd preach for 2 hours, and the elders always asked him to preach. And he'd always forget his Bible and always be late. And he'd start to the front, he'd always ask the local preacher, "Can I borrow your Bible?" Well, they'd changed preachers from the last time he was there, and so the preacher handed him the New Testament. He slapped it against the side of his leg and said, "I didn't ask for the New Testament, I asked for the Bible." He said, "That preacher just calmly said, 'Brother Wallace, I just carry the part I don't have memorized.'" He said, he never again asked the preacher for the Bible. About 2.5 years ago, I preached a sermon from this pulpit on the subject of forgiveness. I'm going to bring another lesson tonight on the subject of forgiveness. Now, why? During the past 3 or 4 months, there's been at least 4 people to tell me in this congregation, I'm having trouble forgiving myself about some things. Another individual told me, I have a little problem with a certain individual, and I don't know how to handle it. That involves forgiveness. You see, there are 3 characteristics that go together. Giving, thanksgiving, and forgiveness. Where you find one, you usually find all 3. Where you find one absent, you usually find all 3 absent. And what was read a moment ago, he's talking about forgiveness. And of course, he's talking about a brother going to another brother and working out the problem they have. So what I want to do this evening is ask some questions about forgiveness and let the Word of God answer those questions. The first question is, why should we forgive one another? In Mark 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, forgive. You have ought against any, that your Father may also forgive you your trespasses." If there was no other reason why we forgive one another, it's because the Lord commands us to do so. That within itself is enough. But we should forgive one another because Jesus Christ set the example. Luke 23:34, when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." Now, God didn't forgive them right at that point. If so, he would have forgiven them while we're in the very act of doing what the Lord asked God to forgive them of. A few days later, on the day of Pentecost, some of these same people heard Peter determine and show them that Christ was the Son of God. They were pricked in their heart and cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. About 3,000 did. That's when God answered the prayer the Lord prayed. He forgave them the sin they had committed in crucifying him. We should forgive one another because we've been forgiven. In the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, he's talking about we put off the old man and put on the new man. In verse 32, he says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Forgive one another, why? Because we've been forgiven. As God forgiven us, we forgive one another. And also we forgive one another because in order that we might receive forgiveness. Did you ever stop to think the only part of the prayer the Lord taught his disciples to pray that he explained was that part about forgiveness? He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive your trespasses." A number of years ago, the late Gene Thornton, who lived at Boonville, Mississippi, a great gospel preacher, was invited to a meeting at Greenwood, Mississippi. They'd had a problem there. Some man had committed a grievous sin. He'd made a public confession. The elders called Brother Thornton and said, "As far as we know, everything's all right. But we'd like for you to preach a sermon on forgiveness." And Gene said, "I did. As I stand at the back door greeting people, a woman walked by and said, 'I don't care what you say. I'll never forgive him.'" Brother Thornton said, "Then you need to pray daily, sister, that you never need forgiveness yourself." That's what the Lord said, "For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will Father give you your trespasses." Also, we need to keep in mind this in regard to this. How often should we forgive one another? In the prose read, as we look at this, Peter came to the Lord and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, if you multiply that, that's 490 times. And one man said, when I get through 490 times, brother, you've had it after that. Well, that wasn't what the Lord had in mind. As long as we meet the conditions, we'll be willing to forgive. So this is what he's emphasizing. But you see, the Jews taught if you forgive a man three times, that is more than enough. And Peter thought seven times would be sufficient. So the Lord said 77 times seven. Then he used this illustration. He talked about a lord that had a servant that owed him 10,000 talents, about $16 million. He couldn't pay it. So he fell down and begged him and prayed and worshiped him and said, forgive me and I'll pay you all. And he says, the Lord has moved the compassion and forgave him the debt. But he went out and found a fellow servant owed 100 pence, about $17. He took him by the throat, said, pay me what you owe me. But he would not, when he cast into prison, shall he pay the debt. And so he goes on to emphasize the point, what we have here, this 16 represents our sins against God. The $17 represents our sins against one another. And so you see, they're very matters. So this, he wouldn't forgive him. So when his fellow servants saw it was done, they came and told him the Lord all was done. So the Lord called him and said, you should have compassion on him as he even had pity on you. He delivered them tormentors, shall he pay all his due unto him. But in Luke 17, 3 and 4, Jesus said, take heed to thyself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, you forgive him. Now sometimes people say, I'm going to forgive the person whether they want to forgive him or not. My friends, God can't even do that and be consistent with his will. You notice the verse says, if he repent. Suppose he doesn't repent, forgive him anyway. You see, God is ready. God is willing. God wants to forgive everybody. But God cannot forgive anybody that won't meet the condition of his will. You and I should be ready, we should be willing, we should have the attitude, I'm willing to forgive. But if a person won't repent, we can't forgive them. If he repent, forgive him. That means he decided to make things right in the sight of God. But now the question arises, how are we to forgive one another? We're to forgive one another. Notice it in Ephesians 4:32 again. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How has God forgiven us? Remember the Lord, the servant said to his Lord, forgive me. He was moved with compassion. And he forgave him the debt. Genuine feelings. It's to be from the heart. It's not to be the lips out. It's to be from the heart, to be genuine. Then also, it's to be, when God forgives us, you remember in Ephesians, in Hebrews 8:12, I'll be merciful to the unrighteous, their sins and their iniquities, I'll remember no more. When God forgives you and me, he forgets it. It's as if it never happened. It says we're to forgive one another as God hath forgiven us. You ever heard this statement made? I'll forgive them, but I won't forget it. Now, wouldn't it be terrible if every time we commit the sin, don't you and I sometimes do the same thing this week we did last week? God said, oh, yeah, I remember last week you did the same thing. Bring it all up again. No, when he forgives it, that's it. He never uses it against us again. If we forgive a person, it means we never use that against the person again. When I was in Jackson, Tennessee, there's a couple that had a marriage problem, and they worked it out, and they forgave one another. About a year later, he did the same thing. She had said, well, about what I expected a year ago, you did the same thing. She didn't really forgive him. It may be the same thing, but it's a different situation. If you forgive, you never bring it up again. You never use it against the person again. That's how God forgives us. Then also we need to keep in mind, what is the responsibility of the offender and the offended? You see, when there's a need of forgiveness, it means somebody's done wrong and somebody has been offended, been wronged against. All right, first, let's look at the responsibility of the one that has done the offending. He has a responsibility to repent. Remember Luke 17:3, if he repent. I've emphasized to the students, and they'll tell you that, repentance means a change of mind. That's really all repentance is. It's brought about by godless sorrow, and it results in a change of life. When you repent, you change your mind because you're sorry for what you've done, and it results in a change of your life. That's what repentance is all about. And so you need to recognize that when the person repents, they change their mind. They turn from what they've done. So that's responsibility. Here's another thing. The one that's done the wrong has a responsibility of seeking the forgiveness of the one he's wronged. Now here's a point that many times we overlook. In Matthew 5 and verse 21, Jesus said, you've heard it said of old time, which they talk about, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment, but I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say his brother raker shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Now notice, therefore, the students say, what's it there for? Therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar, remember your brother had aught against you. Leave there thy gift before the altar and come and go make things right with your brother, then come off your gift. What's he saying? When you come to the altar, he's talking about you're coming to worship. Then you remember brother has something against you and you've not done anything about it. He said, now go ahead and worship and then make things right with your brother. No, my friends. He said, make things right with your brother and then come and worship God. You see, let's think about we're coming to worship. Say you're on the way to the worship services. You remember you've done something against your brother and you've not done anything about it. The Lord said, first go make things right with your brother and then come worship me. This idea that I'm going to make things right and try to worship God, it won't work. So make things right with your brother. That's the offender's responsibility. Making things right with his brother in order to worship accept. But what is the responsibility of the one that's been offended? Notice the verses that the Lord read. More if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell everybody else about it, right? Go and tell thy brother, in other words, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Notice the idea is if somebody's trespassed or sinned against you, you go to them in private. You talk to them about it. And listen, if they listen to you, you've gained your brother. They're going to make things right. Why is it that many times, and I say this because it grieves me, why is it many times when something like that happened, we talk to several other people about it before we ever get around talking to the brother? And he hears about it, by the time you get to him, he won't listen to you. Sometimes it's because we can't face the situation. He says, go talk to him in private. Then go talk to him in the spirit of meekness. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, it says, if a man be overtaken of fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now what he's simply saying, in the spirit of meekness, you've lost yourself in a cause greater than yourself, and your concern is to make things right. But notice he said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If I understand what that means, I don't care what a person's done. As long as I'm in the flesh, there's a possibility I might be tempted to do the same thing. And if you don't believe that'll change your attitude in dealing with someone who's done wrong, think about it for a little while. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now that's responsibility of the one that's done the wrong. And also, when you look at it from this standpoint, If he won't listen to you, take one or two more with you. Now be sure to pick out somebody who's going to be on your side, of course, right? No, it ought to be somebody you feel like the man of trust, somebody who's going to be trustworthy. And the indication is they may say something about it too. If he hears them, if they're there to witness what's taking place, and it may be they say something to help the Lord. If he hears them, it means he's going to change. You've gained your brother. But suppose you want to hear them. Now, it starts out as a private matter, but now it becomes a public matter. Tell it to the church. What's the purpose of telling it to the church? You see, many times when something like this happens and it's reported to the church, maybe two or three people will go and say something to the individual. It says, tell it to the church. Several years ago, I was in a meeting in Alabama. They tell about an incident that happened there. A man and his wife was converted. He was a farmer and had four children. For 2 years, they didn't miss a service of the church. Then all of a sudden, they quit. One Wednesday night, about 75 were in attendance, and all of them got in the car for the service, drove out to the farmer's house, parked in the front yard, knocked on the front door. Opened the door, and there's the church out in the front yard. Said, we've come to try to find out what's wrong. What's wrong? Through all their effort, they were restored. He later became an elder in the Lord's church. Many times, my friends, because we don't get results, we don't do it the way the Lord said to do it. And so we need to keep in mind, if you won't listen to the church, withdraw fellowship from him. That's the last hope left to bring him to his senses. To make things right. This is what we're talking about. So also to keep in mind, when we think about it, there are many examples of forgiveness in the Bible. All of you familiar with the story of Joseph, beginning in Genesis 37 through chapter 50. His brother sold him into Egypt. Convinced his father, or at least his father drew the conclusion that Joseph's dead. Later on, the brothers found out and went to Egypt to get some food. Joseph revealed himself to them, and they were scared. They felt he'd put them to death because he was next to Pharaoh at this point. But he forgave them and made things right, and they made things right. You find also that Saul tried to kill David, but David wouldn't take his life because he was the Lord's anointed. You see, my friends, many problems in the church could be solved because many times there are little things that do not matter. Several years ago in Estill County, Kentucky, in the little county seat of Irvin, this happened. There were two families there, the Williams family and the Taylor family. They were close friends. Their boys had finished high school together. They went to college together. They were roommates together in the college. After the first year, they came back to the little county seat of Irvin, went to the local doctor for a physical examination. And as they were leaving the doctor's office, the doctor just casually said, the Taylor boy is a little brighter than the Williams boy. A woman heard it. It may be a man the next time. She went and told Mr. Williams what the doctor said. She told other people about it. It spread throughout the little community. Those families had a falling out. Their boys went back to college, but not as roommates. They had nothing to do with each other. The families had nothing to do with each other. They graduated from college. One of them was a doctor. One became a lawyer. One hot August afternoon, they met on the streets, got into an argument. One drew his pistol and killed the other boy, and as he was falling, he killed him. And as he dying, he said, how foolish, how foolish, how foolish. Several months passed, and finally one of the mothers said to her husband, I'm going over and talk to Miss Williams. And he said, she'll spit in your face. But she went over. She said, I'm going out to the cemetery. I'm going to put some rose cuttings on your boy's grave. I want you to put some on my boy's grave. They forgave one another. But how much harm had been done by a wagging tongue, an unforgiving spirit. You see, my friends, forgiveness is important. When you think about how much God has forgiven us, that we must be willing to forgive one another in the way that God says do it, to save the souls of men and to save our own soul in the long run. God's willing tonight to forgive you if you have not been forgiven your past sins. If you believe that His Son is truly His Son, you're ready to repent of your sins, confess your faithful men, be baptized, admit your sins. God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed tonight. Then continue to walk in the light. The blood of Christ will take care of your sins. Thank God for His forgiveness and the opportunity we have to forgive one another. If you need to obey the gospel, won't you come while we're standing and while we're singing?